Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it is talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows, like all of those talk shows on, Station X, wish they could go, but they can't. Most talk shows can't go to the places that we go to, and so they settle for second best, which is why talk radio today, as we speak, is losing listeners, is losing market share, is boring people to tears, with the exception of our show, which is a creative effort handled by myself mostly, but Bud Dickman helps, Robert Leonard, and of course David G. Hall as well, who is going to be with us here in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com, where you can go and get a backstage pass and watch our live-streaming video of the show as we speak. You can also listen to our podcast, twice weekly podcast. Episode 6 is due out tomorrow, guys. I know that we usually do our podcast Monday and Thursday, but the podcasts this week will be Monday and Friday because we were on a business excursion to the usually sunny climes of South Florida, but this time around it was a little wet and a little dreary, David G. Hall. There's rain, as I guess you should expect when one is in Florida.
Well, there's rain in Florida, you know, even during the winter months when people are down there and they're saying, you know, let's go down to Florida and enjoy the winter down in Florida, there's even rain then, but the summertime, you got to expect it.
Absolutely, and it was raining. I would say it rained most of the time, but it was still very nice to be there, and it was nice to see the state again. I started my radio career in Florida. I was in Miami.
You're from California.
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
Because that's where I actually went down there with some friends of mine to work in construction, and the next thing you know, we're, you know.
You're working in radio. Well, the question that people were asking here, and certainly I'm interested myself, Phil, and that is, what exactly were you doing in Florida? You mentioned you were on a business excursion of some kind. You and I are in business together, you know?
Yeah, I understand that.
Well, what were you doing down there?
I was just talking to people, that's all.
You were talking to people, so you don't want to tell me.
It's nothing that it should concern you. But I was talking to people, and I was just, you know, getting the lay of the land. And
what, are you moving down there?
No, I'm not moving down there. I was talking to some people in the radio business that I know.
Talking to Bubba?
I'm not going to say who I was talking to.
Well, we got a problem because there were people that were asking, where's Hendry? And there were a lot of big news things that were going on.
And what big news things?
There was very big news. I don't know. I'm not a newsman, so I don't know. I'll tell you, one of the things that happened was did the guy get his face eaten when you were there, or?
That was before I left, okay?
All right, well, one of the things that came to my attention just moments ago, in fact, was you were on your pre-show, and you were ripping Facebook a new ass. And Phil, I got to tell you, Facebook is a big, big platform. There's lots of people that use Facebook. Now, when you go to Florida for a few days, and you're out of sight and out of mind, and you're out of touch, and you don't know what's going on, and you come back here, and you start ripping Facebook an ass. And
like, I don't know that Facebook is really big, okay?
Well, I mean, in other words, what do you mean you don't know that Facebook's? Why were you ripping them an ass?
I'll tell you why I was ripping Facebook an ass. Did you hear?
Yeah, I heard what you were saying, that there was a picture there. And
I'll tell you something. Facebook, one of the people on Facebook had the picture of that poor man who had his face mauled down there. They had his hospital photograph.
So what does that mean?
After he got his face mauled off.
Okay. It's Facebook.
Oh, so you're going to make a joke here?
Well, I could have. I could have said, no, I'm not going to say no Facebook. I mean, but now that you mention it, yeah, you could make a joke. You could say no Facebook. Was that what they did?
No, that's not what they did. What they did was, these idiots weren't even that clever. Whoever put that picture into Facebook put a caption, too soon, like we're talking comedy here, like we're thinking, oh, it's really funny, this poor man who's horribly disfigured and will be for the rest of his life. They put the picture on Facebook?
Now that you mentioned the no Facebook thing.
Yeah, that's the number one thing you're thinking about, man. See, that's why I was ripping Facebook an ass, okay?
That's not Facebook's fault. Those are the people that use Facebook use it for these things. Okay?
Well, I know that, and I'm not... Look, I'm not saying shut down Facebook. I'm not saying don't do business with Facebook. I didn't say anything. I just said that that's a... It's beyond tasteless. It's beyond cruel. It isn't even, doesn't even approach the level of funny unless you're a psychopath who has no feelings for people. There's people that laugh at that stuff, and then they look around the room and nobody else is laughing. And they go, oh, because they don't get it. That's why I was ripping and that individual, you know.
Who did it?
That's why I don't know who the person was. Otherwise, I would have singled him out by name.
You can't do that. See, this is what I'm saying.
And why can't I do that?
Because you're going to wind up getting sued. Okay.
Well, hey, let me tell you something, man. Facebook is a very, very public thing, okay? And if there's somebody who has something as news, there's a thing called the public's right to know, you know, public interest.
Well, which is it? Public's right to know or public interest? When you start talking...
It's called the public interest.
When you start talking law, just watch what you're doing.
It's the public interest. If it has compelling public interest, the Supreme Court ruled. Did they not?
I don't know. You're the jailhouse lawyer.
What I'm saying is that the Supreme Court said if it has compelling public interest, then you can talk about it. Even if it was an illegally made tape, you can talk about it. So if somebody puts on Facebook the picture of that man with his face mauled off...
No Facebook.
So that's all anybody's going to be thinking about now is that no Facebook.
Well, you brought it up. You came on the program.
No, I didn't bring it up. You did. There's a joke in there, man. I could make the joke.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't think of it.
Not everything is an opportunity for a joke. The point I'm making here is that the this individual on Facebook who put that picture there, I could name who that person was. I would name who that person was. I would put their name out on the air and I'd say that Susie Q or Debbie Dopey or Joey Stupid or whoever that jackass was that did that, they're the guys on Facebook. They got a picture of this guy. And who's the hospital worker that took that photograph? And who is the person in the hospital that allowed that photograph to become a publicly published piece of curiosity for the dumbass generation?
Boy, I tell you, this is what I mean. You go away for a few days and you don't get it, man. You're making enemies.
And I'm not making enemies, man. I'm saying something there's probably a million people are thinking. Most people don't know that perhaps they don't even know that it was on Facebook.
I think a lot of people are thinking of the joke. See, that's the funny thing. Just hear me out on this. I think there's people who are split. They're saying, I agree with Phil, but David's no Facebook joke.
You know, it wasn't even that funny, and the fact that you are saying now, hey, wow, I made a joke, that's you trying to be a comic.
No, it's not. It's me saying that it was a... Well, you know, it's me saying I got off a good joke.
Yeah, you got off a good joke. It sucked. So in any event, what happened was this thing was published, and yes, I would go public with the person's name had I known who they were. I think they deserve to be shamed. I think they deserve to be mocked. I think they deserve to be called stupid and dumbass and no brains and just scumbag and all of those other words. They deserve it. If people want to, look at it, let me tell you something, and it cuts both ways, as the saying goes. If you want to be in the public eye, and you want people to know who you are, and you want to create a stir, and you want people to look at you, and you want to be the goofball, then you're going to have to take the bad with the good. You're going to have to be able to suck up the fact that a lot of people are going to call you a douchebag, think you're a scumbag. You're going to have to get your phone number changed. You're probably going to have to go into hiding, like that dumbass, that mouth breather.
Yeah, you're talking about the troll?
The troll, yeah. That troll? I mean...
That troll?
Yes.
Where am I? Oh, I'm over here. Now, you're over...
There. Anyway, yeah, the troll. And they finally published that guy's face, which was a very unfortunate thing, because he was a mouth breather, quite literally. And everybody knew who he was. And you know what? I don't think that guy is ever going to have a moment's peace. Maybe, eventually, he'll be able to slink back into his den, but I doubt it. All right, David, so that's what I was doing. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it doesn't answer my question. I asked you what you were doing. You don't want to tell me. And
I told you it was business.
Well, I just think that it's unfortunate that you're down there doing things, gone. We've got, there's a lot of people who were very upset that you were gone. There's a lot of people that are pissed off that you're sneaking around doing these deals. I got to be honest with you. You know, I don't know what to think about any of this.
None of this stuff runs afoul of you. It's just me trying to make a couple of extra dollars here, okay?
And the stuff you were saying about radio on Twitter, you were mentioning some of the big companies saying that they,
All I said was that small companies, you know what?
Go ahead, what'd you say?
I said small radio companies ought to take on the big radio companies and start turning their talk stations into entertainment-oriented talk stations as opposed to the horror that is news talk right now. All right, David, hang on. We're going to be back with R.C. Collins here in a moment on our first night back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. R.C. Collins is going to join David G. Hall here in a moment to talk about President Obama's drone strikes, I think, as well as maybe some follow-up on that Facebook stuff. We'll be back. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
We're back on the air here with David G. Hall, the Vice President of Syndication for the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. David on the road between Southern California, Los Angeles, and San Diego tonight, correct?
Well, I'm going down to San Diego tonight, and then we're on to Phoenix for the weekend because we're having the first Southwestern Conclave. And I had the Northwestern Conclave in Minneapolis, which you did your very best to insult.
Let me ask you a question. Is every time that we're going to have you on the air doing this little, meet the program director guy thing?
That's not what it's called, because I'm not your program director.
Okay, well, if we're going to have you on the air every time, is it going to be about how I'm screwing up?
No, I think it's going to be about how my job is and how it's made tougher sometimes by...
But do you understand that when I talk about... When I talk about things in business, I'm going to come at them from a perspective that's real.
Oh, you know what? Deliver me from the real thing. Let me tell you something, Phil. We got more people talking real. Everybody's telling it like it is. Everybody is just laying it out there. You know?
Well, in my case, it's true. Is that what you're going to say, that most people are full of crap?
Yeah, most people are full of crap. You're telling me you're not?
I'm telling you that when I get on the radio and I rip something like the Conclave in Minneapolis, or I rip some of these big broadcasters for being with it, or I rip Facebook for putting that poor man's picture, I don't understand what's funny. I know it isn't funny. Anyone that laughs at that hasn't never had a sense of humor. They've been walking through life laughing at their own jokes, and everybody sort of looks at them after their back is turned and wonder what the hell happened to them. If I ever found out the name of that woman who put that on her webpage, I swear to God I'd go public with it so fast, I would hope she'd be harassed into changing her number.
And we'd get sued.
Would we get sued, really? Would we get sued by the woman that violated the privacy of that man and put his picture on Facebook? Is that the person who's going to sue me?
You said sues me. Instead of what?
Is that the person that's going to sue me?
Yes, I think that's what she would do, and that's what we'd have to deal with.
Would she win?
It's not about whether she wins or not. Don't you understand? It's the fact that we'd actually have to hire a lawyer. That's what we don't want to do. The minute we hire a lawyer, you're fired. That's the way it works in radio.
And oh, I see. So in other words, I might be right, I might be wrong.
You could be right. You could be the rightest guy that's ever been. You may have in your bag, if you put her face... If you put her name out there on blast, okay, and you said, here's the lady that put that guy's face on Facebook, and the lady, turned around and sued you, and we defended you before the Supreme Court of the United States, okay, and or maybe you had a case that was going to be won before the Supreme Court, it's never going to get there because we're going to fire you.
Because why?
Because we had to hire lawyers.
Give this to me again, man.
Oh, you know how it works.
No, give it to me again. Just the mere fact that I got sued.
The mere fact that you got sued, you're fired. That's how it works in radio. If you get fired, if you get sued, that means we got to hire lawyers. That means we had to spend money. That's bad.
So any expenditure of money above and beyond what was in the budget?
Yeah, well, you know, we got in the budget bumper stickers and, you know, kazoos and your salary, which, you know, I mean, I don't want to, it's not a big part of the budget.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, well, and then we have all that other stuff. And then you have to, then you say something that makes me got to go out and get a lawyer? Of course we're going to fire you.
So in other words, the mere fact that I did something that cost you money is going to get me fired, not whether I was right or whether I was wrong.
Well, we're not interested in that.
Well, you're making my case for me.
Oh, get out of it. I'm making your case. I'm making the case of a businessman, okay? I'm a businessman, and I'm trying to do business, as they say. I'm a businessman. I'm trying to do some business. And I can tell you, in this world that we're living in today, Phil, it is simply not a pragmatic thing to have to spend money if you don't have to.
Even if you've got a solid case, and even if the audience is compelled.
The audience is compelled by what?
By if I said to this woman, here's her name, here, you know what I'm saying. Here's the name of the lady that put this guy's face on Facebook, and she's a piece of garbage. And
yeah, they could love you. They could love your ass till the cows come home. You just made me hire a lawyer.
877-876-PHIL, R.C. Collins, joining us here on the Phil Hendry Show with David G. Hall. R.C., how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Hi, Mr. Hall.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask Mr. Hall if he'd seen the latest story on the drone strikes in the Pakistan regions.
No, I have not seen the drone strikes.
I was wondering, Mr. Hendry, did you ever see them? Or
what, the drone strikes in Pakistan?
Yes, sir.
I think I did. Was it Obama?
Obama has been ordering in drone strikes into Pakistan, which I think sort of makes him pretty badass in my book, and I think that there's a lot that's going to be going down in the elections that are coming up that a lot of people will now say that Obama's pretty, I think he's probably more badass on national security than Romney, and I was going to ask what you thought about it, Mr. Hendry, and Mr. Hall, I didn't know that you were going to be on. So I just asked you.
Just to be polite?
Well, yeah, because.
What's that?
Well, because you're not going to know nothing about it.
You mean I'm not going to know nothing about it? I'm on the program to have people ask me questions.
I know, but I wanted to ask Mr. Hendry about drone strikes.
What's he know about it that I don't know about it?
Well, first of all, I'm the host.
Yeah, I know you're the host. Am I some kind of a. What does that make me? I don't.
Well, I mean, if you're kind of. I'm not going to ask you about drone strikes and everything. Unless you, well, I shouldn't say.
Say what?
Well, I don't want to say.
Unless I what?
I was going to do a joke.
What joke?
You take a drone strike on the butt.
I take a drone strike on the butt. Well, I can tell you something.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was funny.
I did.
You did, huh? I didn't think it was funny at all. No, I don't take drone strikes on the butt. Okay?
Huh?
Okay, you know something?
You, David, you know, you don't mind laughing at everybody else, but the minute somebody laughs at you, you get upset.
I came on the program to answer questions and to talk about the issues of the day, and some kid calls up and says I'm getting a drone missile right up the you-know-what.
Yeah, it probably feels good, too.
Hey, hang up on him.
No, I'm not going to hang. Why don't you get lost for a minute, okay? I'm going to talk to this kid. R.C. Collins is on the line with us here. 877-876-PHIL. What about these drone strikes, R.C.?
Well, I think, first of all, the drone strikes that I'm talking about are from Obama as he's attempting to get Al-Qaeda, okay?
And where are you, anyway?
Well, we're just having a couple of drinks, me and some mates of mine here at the Vine.
You guys are high school students.
We're having Cokes.
It sounds like you're in a jazz club.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is on the drone strikes of Obama, I think it makes him look very, very presidential and very much a military president, and I think that was the one area where...
Hey!
Clap, you guys.
Hey!
That's great!
Did you guys just go in there?
Yeah, we wanted some Cokes. Can we get another round of Cokes, too? Another round of Cokes?
All right, hold on for just a second. R.C. Collins with us. And I guess some other guys there with you as well?
Yeah, some guys in my class.
We'll be back to talk about drone strikes on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Weird way to kick this thing off, man. Very weird.
didn't like my joke about no Facebook, but he gets that drone strike.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're doing there.
You know, why are you back on the air?
Because I told Dickman to put me back on the air. I'm not going to have you making these comments, Phil. Did you see the statistics? Turn left. I got Jerry driving me tonight.
Where is R.C. Collins? Is he there?
Right here, Mr. Henry. Hold on for just a second. Can I say something?
Go ahead.
I heard what you said about Pandora. You understand I got 1.37 million active users.
So what, man? What has that got to do with the price of tea in China? Is that paying my bills?
You're ripping them. They got your stuff. Are they airing your stuff on Pandora?
Let me tell you something about Pandora.
Are they airing your stuff on Pandora?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Okay, so what are you ripping them for?
Because their presentation is dog crap. I don't give a damn. Pandora ain't paying my bills. And when they start paying my bills, then I can talk about Pandora. Everybody's, you know who's excited about Pandora? The bloodsuckers that started that company. Pandora making all that money on everybody else. I'm telling you, this is a great time to be an entrepreneur and steal and take and grab and do whatever you can. Just get whatever material you can from whatever parts. And one of the reasons why Pandora is so successful is because the radio industry is such a sad and sick joke. Because Pandora and people like that can find ways to present material that this business that I'm in, this radio business, you know, I shouldn't be talking this way. You're right.
Well, you shouldn't be talking. You're off in San Francisco.
You know, I'm going to make you a bet. If I ever go back, we are going to go back on in San Francisco. That KNEW, I will rip them an ass. I will make them wish they'd never gone talk with that station. That miserable, no-count radio station has had me on two times now with that garbage that they do, with that, I don't know what they got, that right-wing talk radio. Those guys wouldn't be able to program, I mean, a VCR. They couldn't program the new, the new climate control I've just put it in the hallway here. So if I, you know, Pandora, I'll give them this much. At least those guys know how to get users. You know who's number two in that list? Clear Channel. They're like a distant second. 245,000.
All right, so what are you ripping Pandora for?
Because when I go over there and I find Phil Hendry on Pandora, it is the most horse dung presentation I've ever seen in my life. Real cut rate, low rent crap. We're talking real stuff here, folks. We're talking a business. You want to know what the news is? You can talk about Obama. You can talk about all this stuff. I wouldn't, unless there's something really going on.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Hendry. I wanted to talk to Obama.
Take it easy, kid, because we're talking real.
I'm talking real, too, and I don't really appreciate being called kid.
You going to give me that line from, Tombstone? You can take kid and shove it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah.
What's that mean?
What does that mean, R.C.? Yes?
Do I call you Stremski?
No, you can take kid and you can stick it way deep.
Oh, I can take... Maybe I can put it right up there where the drone strikes are.
Yeah, maybe you can. Maybe it feels good, huh?
All right, hang up on him.
No, he's not going to hang up on me.
I'm not hanging up on him, David.
Hang up on him because he's starting to make... He's making fun of me, do you understand? And I am the head...
Yeah, you're the head, all right.
Hang up on him.
No, I'm not, because he came on here and your time was up and you got, you know, flustered with me.
Yeah, I got flustered with you. Now you're on talking about Pandora. Do you know how much money they make?
Why do I care how much money they make? How much money am I making? How much money am I making? That's the only thing that's important to me. How much do I make? You think I care how much Pandora makes? Or how much Clear Channel makes? Or how much any of these other companies? How much am I making?
God, Phil, you don't have to get upset.
Well, you're the guy that brought it up.
You tell him, Mr. Henry, these guys is bloodsuckers and everything.
Shut up, kid. You don't know anything about my business. Yeah, I do. You put on lipstick and you walk down this... You didn't know it, but I'm in the same room with the kid, right? And I'm going to choke...
Get out of here! Sounded like he was going to say choke a chicken. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show here. Thank you. This is our first night back from 3 days on the prowl. Margaret Gray is going to join us because we do have entertainment news, and it is very sad entertainment news, folks. It is the news of the passing of Bob Welch, who was a singer with the group Fleetwood Mac. For those of you who are a little bit younger, you probably know the name, but maybe you're not too familiar with their music. They were, it was very, very hard to find any band that was not... it was hard to find any band that was more popular during their time, other than maybe the Beatles and the Stones. But Fleetwood Mac in the late 70s really ruled rock and roll radio. On the line with us from their home in Santa Monica is Margaret Gray and Frank Gray on the passing of Bob Welch. Margaret, how are you?
It is a very, very sad day, Phil. Hearing about Bob Welch, it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound, Frank. And Frank is stunned.
She shot herself, huh?
Yeah, he shot himself. My husband, Frank, has gender confusion as the result of an untreated STD.
All right, let's move past that. Yes, Frank, Bob Welch shot himself.
That's sad to know that she was... how old was she?
He was 65, Frank. Let's not make fun, okay?
Making fun? What makes you think I'm making fun? Bob Welch is one of the great singer-songwriters of all time. She was one of my favorites. And
all right, that gender confusion is kind of making a mockery.
Yeah, Frank, why don't you shut up?
I'll be to shut up. I'll blacken the other eye.
Oh. Woo! Well, those are fighting words. Phil, Bob Welch was 65 years of age, and the news that we got at Dicklin Syndicate late this afternoon was that it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Could you turn that down for a minute, Frank, please?
Well, it's the space show that I like.
Okay, that's great. It's the space show.
This is One Step Beyond.
Okay, that's great. So,
but we can hear it in the background, Frank.
What do you say?
Talking about Phil?
No, I'm talking to Phil about you.
She said turn it down.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, Bob Welch was one of the primary singer-songwriters of the group Fleetwood Mac. He wrote a song that I think we all know, and...
I guess you're going to sing it.
Oh, you are a...
Ow!
Well, that didn't hurt.
What did you do?
I pinched his thigh. Now, Phil, the... What are you laughing about? Phil, I'm on the program right now. I'm trying to relate to your audience the story of a man that I thought was quite an artist.
I understand that, but you and Frank are killing me. You pinched his thigh, huh?
Oh, grow up. Yes, I did. Because he was smart-mouthing me. Bob Welch wrote a song, yes, you're right, Frank, called Sentimental Lady, and it went something like this. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Oh, you know what? I'm not even in the mood now.
Come on, sing it. I'm sorry. Sing the song.
No, I'm not in the mood. You took me completely out of the mood.
Sentimental Lady by Bob Welch. We know the song. I could get it off of iTunes and play it.
Oh, really? You can get it off of iTunes and play it, huh? So that means I sound like a caterwauling banshee, and you don't want to hear me.
I don't mind hearing you, but if you don't want to sing it...
I don't like what you said, Frank.
Relax. I just said I guess you're going to sing it. I was right.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Sentimental. Screw it.
I don't think he wants to sing the song, Phil.
All right, well, we know the song, and we don't have to have her singing it, okay?
She said that you don't have to sing it.
I know what she said.
You don't have to sing it. We know the song. Anyway, Bob Welch, let me just tell people what we're talking about, for God's sake. Bob Welch, a former member of Fleetwood Mac, who also had a solo career, has died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He was 65. Police said Welch's wife found him with a chest wound at their South Nashville home. He was a guitarist and vocalist for Fleetwood Mac from 71 to 74. He formed the British rock group Paris in 1976 and had hits including Sentimental Lady and Ebony Eyes. That was the other one that I remember. Fleetwood Mac's Christine McVie and Lindsey Buckingham performed backing vocals on Sentimental Lady. Welch was a Los Angeles native. He scored his biggest hit with Sentimental Lady, which reached number 8 on the Billboard chart. His other singles included Precious Love in 1979 and Hot Love, Cold World, in 1978. Stevie Nicks said Welch's death hit her hard. She said, "The death of Bob Welch is devastating. I had many great times with him after Lindsey and I joined Fleetwood Mac. He was an amazing guitar player." So that's a sad story, and
it really is very sad, Phil. And the song Sentimental Lady, I wish I could sing it, but I feel bad, not because of Bob Welch dying, although I feel very bad for that. I feel bad because Frank is breathing that clam sauce on me, you know?
Here, I'll do it.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, this ought to be good.
I'll sing the GD song. I don't give a sweet. Sentimental Lady, you're, well.
Yeah, isn't so easy, is it?
I'm just bored, that's all.
Yeah, well, so are we, Frank. Thank you very much.
Why don't you go straight?
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So that's kind of whack. All right, we're going to come back here with more on the national scene and international scene with Obama and Romney and, of course, the moves that are being made there by Romney. And what the Democratic strategy is going to be, because right now Romney's got somewhere in the neighborhood of $76, $80 million that he's raised, and Obama is wiping up the rear with only 60. Not that 60 is any, you know, not that 60 is bad, and you can do a hell of a lot with 60. You could probably do more with 60 than you could with 80 if you were smarter than the guy with 80, but maybe that ain't the case either. We'll be back to talk more about it when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876. Phil,
truth is our bitch. Our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Right on. Oh, right on.
All right, we're going to get back on track here. R.C. Collins back with us. We also have Frank Gray as well as Margaret Gray to talk a little bit about the Bob Welch, the passing of Bob Welch. I was going to say the Bob Welch killing. He killed himself, and that's a tragic, tragic situation in and of itself. We also want to talk politics with you, Frank, concerning the money that Mitt Romney has raised, which I was referencing early on. But first, R.C. Collins with us, and he is at The Vine, which is a jazz club in Hollywood. And you're there with other members of your senior high class. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, that's correct, Mr. Henry. But we're not having no liquor, if that's what you asked me about that.
Yeah.
No, we're not having that. We have like Cokes. We had a round of Cokes just momentarily ago.
Okay. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, rain on your parade or anything.
No, I know, but I mean, you know, we want to respect our military academy and especially Commandant Wireman. But we just wanted to come down here and relax because it's been a very stressful week, so we're going to relax. And here comes Lady Gaga. More Cokes. Can we get some of that garlic bread that you have? Get the garlic bread that you have?
Okay, R.C.?
Yeah, yes, Mr. Henry.
Okay, let's just not worry about that. I want to talk to you more about the, where, did you guys move up?
Yeah, we got a ringside. The garlic bread? Uh-huh. And what about the bruschetta? Bruschetta.
Excuse me, but you're talking on the radio?
Yes, sir. Woo! Yeah, yeah. She's hot. Yeah, her name's Tina Welch. Do you know who she is?
No, I don't.
We follow her from club to club.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Mr. Henry, what I was saying was that...
I can barely hear you because you're that close to the bandstand.
I apologize. Can we move back? Because he wants... I'm on the radio now. I'm on the radio. Yeah, being interviewed on the radio. Yeah, baby. She gets it done. Yeah, we'll take that back, dude. So, I think, Mr. Henry, that Obama's drone strikes, to me, are... Yeah, to me...
Would you get away from that bandstand and move back someplace that's too loud?
Okay, I'm sorry. I just want to get her attention. We get the garlic bread that you have?
Can you talk to me, and then you talk to the waitress?
Sorry.
So Obama's drone strikes, what about him?
Well, I think they make him look very presidential, and speaking as a member of the military, as a member of the military academy, but I am, you know, planning on being military. I got to tell you, Mr. Henry, it really, I think it's changed my mind about President Obama. And just one thing. You're supposed to do ranch dressing with
him. Will you come on with the waitress and the ranch dressing and the garlic bread?
I'm trying to get her to... Yeah, just hold it. You said the hot buffalo wings were... shoot. Okay, I don't even like this song. She sounds too laid back, you know. If I had not gone to the military academy, I definitely would be probably in management or something. But anyway, Obama was I think Obama was perceived as weak on the military. And yeah, that's the stuff. They brought the hot sauce, Mr. Henry.
Well, that's just fantastic, because I haven't heard you say anything thus far of any value other than Obama is really a lot harder than he appeared, and can we get the garlic bread? Can we get the garlic bread?
What?
That's what you've been saying, man.
Hey, flip this. Yay! Woo! Yeah. Tell her to do an encore. Do an encore. Gonna do an encore for us.
Encore.
What?
Encore.
It's an encore, yeah. But I think that Obama, Mr. Henry, has been, I think he's been a very effective leader in...
Yeah?
Yeah, baby.
All right, I'm hanging up on you. Thank you very much.
Please don't hang up.
Then you better spit it out, man.
I think Obama's been a really good leader.
Okay, thank you very much. I can't have this whispering. All right, let's get Frank and Margaret back on.
We're ready to go until Sector 4. So I don't know.
What do you mean Sector 4? Is this... Who is this?
It's David Hall.
Oh, for God's... Hold on, David.
Don't you hang up on...
Where the hell is... here's she. Margaret Gray is on the line. Frank Gray as well. All right. We were... Not David. Margaret Gray and Frank Gray. Now, you were talking about Bob Welch, and unfortunately, you know, the passing of Bob Welch is the loss of another great singer-songwriter. I also wanted to talk to Frank a little bit because we were just talking about drone strikes, about Obama and Mitt Romney.
You're making a big mistake. You sure you don't want me to talk a little bit more about Bob Welch?
No, I want to talk to Frank. Frank?
I'm right here, young man.
How you doing?
I'm better than Custer.
Okay, tell me, first of all, do I have the money right? How much money does Mitt Romney have?
Well, Mitt Romney has got probably in the neighborhood of about $76 million. But you made a very good point, Bill. You can have a lot of money, but do you have the brains to use it? I'm not saying she's not smart, but Mitt Romney can be had in a couple of different ways. Number one, if she comes out of the gate strong, and
you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. All right.
Hold on. I'm not done yet. Don't you ever interrupt me again.
Frank, please.
Don't ever interrupt me again.
Oh, Frank.
Did you hit her?
I hit her ass.
Ow!
I hit her on the ass. What, do you want to call the cops on that?
I don't like the idea that the two of you are smacking each other around.
Well, live with it. I hit her on the ass and it left a red mark. And if you want the truth, she likes to look at it in the mirror.
How dare you tell him?
Give me the phone. I'm not giving you the phone. So anyway, Romney, she's a winner. Obama, I think, can take her, but she's going to have to raise some money, too. Right now, there's about a $16 million difference between the two of them. Obama with the $60 million, Romney with the $76 million.
All right, when you talk about brains, who has the brains?
I don't think there's any doubt that Obama is smarter than Romney in some in terms of raising money. There's no question that she's a lot smarter than Romney is. But Romney has the edge in terms of being able to get that quick dollar. Romney can hit the street and get the quick dollar. She's good at that. And she could go to some of those deep pockets she knows in industry. But Obama, I don't think that she knows enough people who got the money. Part of the syphilis that I have, Phil, is that I stumble over words. And
yeah, and you confuse gender.
That's correct.
All right, let's get Larry Grover in now. Larry from Conservatives of Kern County. Larry and I have talked at great length.
Not this ass.
Who is that was speaking?
Hold on, Larry. Just hold on.
No, but who just called me an ass?
Frank Gray.
Oh, Gray, yeah. This guy's a liberal from way back.
And what do you call yourself? You're a conservative. And you're gonna take exception to what I've said because you're just a redneck. I'm telling you, she's the reddest neck.
Right there, that whole she thing. What is that?
He's got gender confusion.
He's got what?
Go ahead, you tell him.
He has a thing called gender confusion as the result of an untreated sexually transmitted disease.
Are you putting me on? This guy has been on here for the last half hour talking about Romney as she. Now, what is that supposed to mean?
What is what supposed to mean?
Don't ask him. He won't know what you're talking about. He thinks he's saying the word he.
He thinks he's saying he when he's saying she. He's been talking about an American governor who's running for president, and she is this and she's that. Not to mention he said the same thing about Obama, not that I care.
What is your name again?
My name's Larry Grover.
That's right. Boy, every time she comes on here...
Right there. Now, am I a she too?
I guess to him, yeah.
Is that right?
Now, hold on for a minute. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show, Larry Grover and Frank Gray talking about the money, the coffers of the presidential candidates. And we'll be right back with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the News Talk and Entertainment Show. What do we mean by that? We do news, we do talk, but we do it in an entertaining way, which means our show is head and shoulders beyond anything that is on the radio right now. I don't give a damn. I mean, I'm not particularly enamored of news talk. I suppose if you are, well, I can understand that you probably think that Jim Bohannon is all that, but... Anyway, on our radio show, we transcend that, if you'll pardon the big word that even I don't know the meaning of. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
You know what that means?
Go ahead, look it up, bud.
All right.
And we're also online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. And our podcast, that is episode 6, is due out tomorrow at philhenryshow.com. You can hit the link there. We have a link that will get you right on over to our podcast. And we've got episode 6 coming out tomorrow, so enjoy that. In fact, I just got a great idea. Someone laid on me, a fan of the show from way back, mentioned an R.C. Collins bit. I wish R.C. was still with us, but I hung up on him and told him never to come near us again, and I think that did the trick. 877-876-PHIL. So Larry Grover back on the line with us here from Conservatives of Kern County, and we're going to talk a little bit with Larry about, as I mentioned, Larry, we're talking about the Mitt Romney and Barack Obama coffers, the relative strengths of each. And I think Frank Gray is probably not here to confuse us.
What is that? That guy's got a real problem. That Gray has got a real problem talking about her and he and she and all that.
Well, he's got a gender confusion issue.
No, I understand it's gender confusion. I've never heard of such a thing, especially from an untreated STD. And I think that pretty much tells you what you need to know about having that gentleman on as a political commentator. I don't think that it's a very good idea. My feeling is this. I think Mitt Romney, bringing a guy on who doesn't know whether Mitt Romney's a he or a she, is not going to, you know, it's not going to solve the problem.
He knows whether Mitt Romney's a he or she. The gender confusion is in speech only. He knows that Mitt Romney is a man.
Well, what does he call him she for?
It's more of a verbal problem. He has a difficult time finding the right pronoun, third-person pronoun, for the gender.
But he knows he's looking at it's a woman?
He knows he's looking at Mitt Romney's a man. He knows Mitt Romney's a man. He even calls him a man, but he doesn't say he says she.
You know, I don't buy it. I think you have to know exactly where you are at all times, and I think you have to know exactly who you're looking at all times. And if you've got a gentleman on, and with all due respect to Frank Gray, whether or not he has an untreated STD, I think that right there, you know, I don't want to sound like a hillbilly, but that there tells me, well, you know, I'm sorry.
What?
I keep saying that there, or that there. I sound hillbilly-like, and I'm not, I can assure you. I'm just trying to say that I don't believe that is anything that bespeaks someone who is of high intelligence. And
what do we got?
Get R.C.
R.C. Collins back on the line. Go ahead, R.C.
Yeah, I just heard the guy go, that there, you're talking about people having the wrong gender.
I beg your pardon?
You were talking about people having the wrong gender.
No, I wasn't. I was talking about an old man that can't say he or she, doesn't know what a he, doesn't know when to say he, is all I'm saying, okay? And I said that there, yes, and it sounded hillbilly.
Well, I just called up because I wanted to reinforce that because I think it's wrong.
All right, that's enough. Thank you. Goodbye. Nice talking to you. I don't want to hear him at the jazz club. Can we get back to Mitt Romney?
Yeah, we can get back to Mitt Romney. But I wanted to make the point that I have been in nightclubs. Give you an example. I was in a nightclub one night, and it was one of these drag queen nightclubs, if you know what I mean. They have a drag show, all right? So I was there with some friends, and these were guys dressed as women. It's a fun evening.
Where was this?
It was in San Francisco. It wasn't Pinocchio's. It was a different club. I think it was called the Coast or the. It wasn't the Barbary Coast. That's in Las Vegas. It was a place called the Coast or the She. Maybe it was the He She. I don't know. But we went because we saw a flyer that said He She's. So we said let's do it. You know, let's go. It's fun. It's a relaxing night. It's got nothing to do with anything.
And when you say it's got nothing to do with anything, what does that mean?
You know exactly what I mean. I mean it has nothing to do with me being sexually interested in a she-he. Okay? So
I think it's literally he-she, you know.
What difference does it make?
Because I think when you say a she-he, it sounds, I don't know.
It sounds like someone's last name? That's, Mr. Henry, what I'm trying to tell you here, if you won't. You're telling me that gray is confusing men and women. You're saying it's a speech thing. And I'm saying to you that I get it, okay? I'm not a complete square. I understand that there are people that have proclivities. I myself have been in the she-he, or if you want to call it he-she, environment. And I went into a she-he clara, however you want to say it.
Go ahead and say, I don't know, he-she, I don't know. It's cross-dress. It's a cross-dressing club. It's a place. They're drag queens, right?
They're drag queens, yeah.
Well, the drag queen is not necessarily a he-she.
I don't understand.
A drag queen is just a guy that dresses up like a chick. It could be a transgender person.
Well, what I'm saying to you is the following thing. I went into one of those clubs one night, and one of these young ladies, if you want to call her that, it was a man, and it was dressed like a lady, sat in my lap, and I held her his hand. Now, a few years ago, I might have felt very insecure about that, but I checked myself out, and I realized that I was fine with it. We were having fun. It had nothing to do with sex. And so I recognized that, see, this is what I'm talking about. I don't believe in gay rights, and I don't believe that men and men should do what they do. And I don't think women on women should do it. But I do believe that you can be an open-minded person when you go into the heap, I said heap, and I didn't mean that,
Why don't you just call it, well, like a cross-dressing club or a drag queen club?
All right, but I said heeb-she, and I didn't mean to.
No, I don't think anybody took it. Why? What did you say, heeb?
Yes, sir.
Don't worry about it, okay? No one took it the wrong way. You misspoke.
That's why I say she-he, okay? And I know that there are people named she-he. Like, I've got a very good friend of mine, Mike She-he. But no one thinks. I know it sounds like I'm confused.
Yeah, it sounds like there's, well, I shouldn't say, but it sounds...
What does it sound like?
Like there's an issue there.
Oh, my God. You think I've got some, you think I'm confused, huh?
No, I don't, but it's the way you're harping on it over and over, I get it already. You can be comfortable with cross-dressing, whatever, and it's fine, even though you're not in favor of gay rights, and you know the difference between a man and a woman, but you're not such a homophobe that you can't have a guy who's dressed like a woman sitting on your lap.
Yes, that is it. I mean, you minimized it and made it silly.
And
no, I'm not making it. No, I think I understood what you're saying. So what is your point?
My point is when you call Mitt Romney he didn't say a he-she, but he made it sound like Mitt Romney was a she-he. And when you call him that, you are obviously engaging in the worst kind of silly juvenile high school name-calling. You're also confusing a lot of Republican and conservative voters as to perhaps Mitt Romney's intentions when it comes to gay rights or the she-he's. And forgive me again, it doesn't sound right when I say the she-he's. And
you know what, man? You've got some real nerves going on about this whole topic, and that's what disturbs me.
What? No, hold the phone here, friend. There's nothing disturbing about anything.
Well, it's disturbing to me when you go, well, that's the thing with the he-she's, the she-he's, the blah, blah, blah. You're going on and on and on.
Wait, what did you just do? You made me sound like someone who's missing a quarter of their brain.
Well, that's what it sounded like. Marilyn is calling us tonight from Chicago. Marilyn, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Larry Grover. Go ahead.
Hello, Phil. Larry, how are you?
Hi.
Larry, I am a pre-surgical transgender.
Okay.
And I present as a woman. If I were to sit in your lap, would you have a problem with that?
Well, what do you mean you're pre-surgical? That means you have breasts, is that right?
Yes, I do.
I'm not. See, that's what I mean about a she-he. How do you say it?
I say a transgender, transsexual. I don't say she-he. That's generally a term that's from the entertainment, although it's generally a he-she. But it's from the entertainment world. I am, however, someone who presents as a woman and someday wants to live as a woman. Would you have a problem with me sitting in your lap?
I think that I would.
Okay, that's interesting. Why?
Why?
Well, you just said that you have breasts, and that's, I got to draw the line at that.
So you're drawing the line.
Hold on, Phil, I'll handle this. You're drawing.
Oh, boy, get a load of him, her. And I'm not trying to be funny.
Well, yes, you are trying to be funny, and you're not.
No, I am not. I wanted to say him, her, instead of she, he.
Okay, him, her. Now listen to what she's saying.
I'm saying to you, you have a problem with me sitting in your lap if I have breasts.
Yes, of course.
Why? Don't you like breasts?
I like breasts. I don't want them on a him, her.
All right, I got to take a break, okay?
Thank you. Thanks for taking the break right at the moment where I look like the world's biggest...
877-877-876-7445. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Larry Grover, caller Marilyn, who is a transgender, pre-surgical. They're talking about him-hers. I mean she-he's. I mean he-she's. On the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
What if, yeah, I said him-her.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, now, Marilyn, you've been able to hang on with us. 877-876-PHIL, the Phil Henry Show. Marilyn, you there?
Yes, Phil, I'm here.
All right. And we have Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Larry, tell me what the issue is.
I don't have an issue. I think it's, I'm amused at the two of you thinking I've got an issue. And,
Marilyn, this is Marilyn. Larry, when you say that, the men sat in your lap and you thought it was all a lot of fun, these were men with penises and so forth.
Well, yes, but they were in their him, her, or the shim. Have you heard of shim?
Yes, I've heard of shim.
All right, then you know that.
What is shim? Is that sounds like an Irish beer?
Irish beer, God, where have you been?
Shim is like she, him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't you. Mr. Henry, you can talk to me about what a conservative I am, but even I know pretty commonplace terms like that.
No, I don't think they're all that commonplace, Larry. You hanging around in the cross-dressing clubs or the drag queen clubs, that's fine. But don't be sitting here telling me that, oh, it's cool. And
what are you trying to say now? You saying I'm a closet queen?
I'll say it. I think there's something about you that is in the closet, yes.
And speaking of, is this the her him?
No, this is Marilyn Donnelly. I'm transgender, transsexual. I present as a woman. I am pre-surgical.
What does that mean, pre-surgical? So you haven't even decided whether you want to be a her or whether you want a her. If you want a her, I'm having a... Can I get some water? Whether you want to be a her or not.
I know that I want to be a her, but you said that it would be better if a man sat in your lap dressed as a woman than to have me sit in your lap with my large breasts.
Yes, I did.
Why? Why? What difference does it make? In other words, you got a guy dressed as a woman sitting in your lap, like you went into that club that night, right?
Yeah, and we had some drinks, we had dinner, and it was a big hoot. It's a big laugh, and this big, tall, ugly, you know, drag queen took me out on the dance floor and danced me around, and then I sat down, and this really cute, and I don't mean cute because I think guys are cute. I'm not saying that, but this cute-looking, and of course I know it's a guy, so I know that it's not, but it was cute, and I had it in my lap, and, you know, playing coochie-coo and that kind of thing.
Oh, my God, coochie-coo, huh?
Wow.
What's that supposed to mean?
What do you mean, coochie-coo?
I was tickling. Okay, you want to call me? If I have my mother listening, people that I know, people in conservatives of Kern County, are you calling me gay or not?
Yes, we are. We are.
No, I don't know.
No, I'm saying closet.
I'm saying it's something that you ought to check out.
I want you to spit it out. Am I gay?
Okay, yes, you are.
Yes, I think you're a closet. A closet case.
No. Say it straight to my face. And
we just did.
Do you think I'm a homosexual?
Yes.
Yes, I think you are.
You think I'm a homosexual? Huh? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what we're saying.
Yeah, we're saying that, Larry.
You think I'm gay?
Yes, man.
Why?
Because of all the stuff you're saying. Because you're talking about how, oh, well, you know, this... What's with the guy that danced you around?
You said that a big bull queen danced you about the floor.
Yeah. I thought it was fun, and the guys were laughing. This big bull queen took me out on the dance floor and twirled me around, and it was fun, and you really don't get it about straight guys like me, do you? I had a good time, and I tipped them liberally. And
did you have sex with them?
No, I did not have sex with any of them.
Did you kiss them?
I said I didn't have sex.
But did you kiss the cute one?
What cute? You mean the one that was in my lap?
The one that you were playing coochie-coo with?
The one that you're playing coochie-coo with?
That what you think is a big joke, huh, Henry?
And you know, you're the guy that's coming out with all this stuff. You brought it up, man. I didn't ask you, have I been... Hey, Larry, have you been to a cross-dressing drag queen club, seen the floor show? Have you sat down and really dug it? Did they sit in your... I didn't bring any of that stuff up.
I brought it up because, as a conservative, and that guy... I brought it up because you had that freak on, that Frank Gray.
I think it's a hell of a thing for the pot to be calling the kettle black, calling Frank Gray a freak. You're the one who sits there, gets nervous, and it shrinks about 2 inches if it has breasts.
It shrinks about 2 inches.
That you heard me right.
Well?
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
Isn't it true that if it has breasts, you're not as attracted?
I won't dignify that with a response.
Well, then that means, yes, it's true.
No, it means I won't dignify it with a response.
So you'd rather have a man dressed as a woman than a transgender woman, him-she, or shim, or her-him?
A her-him, as a...
I mean, Larry, it's okay. You'll always be welcome on this show.
Oh, okay, great. I'll always be welcome on the show, even though I'm some closet queen freak. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying yes. I don't think you'd be in the closet. You're not in the closet now, are you?
If I were gay.
Well, you think about it, man, because every time I've had you on the show...
No, hey, man.
Hey, listen, you think about it, because every time I've had you on the show, it's about, well, I don't have a really normal sex life.
Oh, my God, you think it's because I'm a queen?
Oh, boy. Larry, there's no reason to get upset.
I got Mr. Hendry, who gets away with murder every night. I've got some trans, I don't know what you are.
I happen to be a woman.
Yeah, you present as a woman. And the two of you are calling me the closet freak. I got to tell you something, Phil. I believe that I have been grossly insulted on your program tonight. I think it is high time that somebody take you to task for some of the things you allude to. Just because I sit in a club where there are men dressed as women dancing for me as I eat my dinner, and then I let one of them sit in my lap, and then I French kiss her. Well, I guess that sounds bad, but...
That sounds bad. It doesn't sound bad. It just sounds like, you know...
I agree, Larry.
When I said I French kissed her, I didn't say I did. She did.
She French kissed you, meaning he did.
It was a she. It was a girl.
Did she have a penis? Did she have a penis?
If I said yes, you understand that still it's a girl?
No, I don't understand that.
Have you been to David Castorini's church?
Who's he?
Some freakazoid that I had on the show here about 3 weeks ago, some preacher who was talking about how he'd had sex with a transgender guy and that it was still a woman.
I don't. That sounds ridiculous. I would never do that.
But you sat down and you lip-locked a cross-dressing a man, and you thought that was normal.
I didn't. He did. She did.
Oh, God.
All right. Thank you both, Marilyn. Thank you, Larry. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Boy, does that guy got some stuff to work out.
Yeah, right.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil from New York City, where she hosts the daily radio program on public radio, Daily's Daily. We've got Debbie Daly on the line with us to join Larry Grover and Marilyn. Has she stayed with us? I think she is. Marilyn, Ms. Donnelly, you there?
I am, yes, Phil.
Okay, and Debbie? And Larry, you there?
I'm right here.
Okay, I wanted to have Debbie talk to you because she, as she just said, she deals with this every day on her show on Daily's Daily. It's called Out Through the Indoor. Is that it, Debbie?
What does that mean, out through the indoor, do I have to ask? You're saying that you, some people go one way and other people go another way, and you're saying I go, I got to tell you, Phil, we're getting very close to a litigious area.
Let's hold on for a minute because I want people to know that the reason why Debbie is, you know, we understand Debbie because we've known her for a while. She is also the world's first radio host who is hearing impaired.
And I don't get that either. And you... We're not. We're talking about you, okay? We're talking about you. We're not talking about me. We're talking about you. Right. That's what you said. You're talking about me. And I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. I hate you so much. You said that you're talking about me. I'm talking about you. Right. You're talking about you. And I want to talk about me.
No, you're saying that you're talking about you.
You know what, Mr. Hendry? This started, I was supposed to talk about Mitt Romney, and you got me involved in some admission that I'm a closet gay because I happen to like a guy who sits in my lap and makes out with me. And you know, there's millions of guys out there tonight who are laughing at you. They're laughing. They're saying, what is Hendry's problem? Don't you get it?
don't I get?
That guys go into clubs and they look at guys dressed up as women.
And this is a perfectly fine pursuit. There's nothing wrong with it, I guess. But you seem to be a guy that is that takes it to, you know, the outer limits, man, when you're sitting there making out with one of them.
You know what I find really interesting? Can I just say something here for a minute? Is it weird that I'm making out with him? No. No, I don't. I didn't make out with one. It was a playful kiss based upon some coochie coo.
I agree with you, Debbie. This is Marilyn Donnelly, Debbie.
Can you understand her?
Yes, I can understand her perfectly.
Now, why? Because you all of a sudden, you're tight with everybody? God.
No, it's not because I'm tight. It's because you are very defensive, Larry. That's the thing that is most telling about your posture here this evening. You're very defensive. When we bring up something that very obviously is homoerotic, you call it all very innocent. It's something that all straight men do, etc.
Now, hold on for just a minute, Marilyn. Debbie, let's talk about you for a minute, okay? I want to talk about you, if you don't mind.
Don't yell, okay? We're having a hard time enough this evening. Don't yell.
All right, I'd like to talk about Miss Debbie Daly. May I talk about you? Why not? You called up to talk about me being deep in the closet. I am not deep in the closet. I'm a straight man with certain tastes that may run to the exotic. Have you ever heard of the exotic? Oh, you never heard of that? You never heard of a man having exotic tastes? I have exotic tastes. It's perfectly normal for a straight man to have very exotic tastes. And I think that it is very irresponsible when a man relaxes. I wear a grass skirt, or I wear and I do a hula dance, and there are other guys. He calls that gay. What do you call it? Boy, I feel sorry for both of you.
Are you kidding me? You never even told me that you were wearing grass skirts and doing hula. All right.
I want to go with you. Hold on for just a minute. You're on this program, Ms. Daly, asking me questions. Talking to me about my sexual orientation. Am I gay? Am I not? Why do I wear a grass skirt and dance for other men? You're trying to make me out to be gay. Isn't that right? Now, hold on. Meanwhile, you call this program, and you talk like some kind of a freak. Huh?
That is very cruel of you, Larry.
No, hold on. Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Isn't it true? Isn't it true, Ms. Daly, that you try to talk like you're normal, like you're like everybody else, and you know that you're not? Mr. Henry's polite to you? No, I won't shut up. Mr. Henry's polite to you?
I don't like this at all, Phil.
Larry, why are you doing this?
Hold on for a minute. You guys have been getting your kicks with me. Now I'm going to get my laughs. You guys have been getting your giggles, talking about being my grass skirt, making out with some small, man who looked good. And I guarantee you, Henry, had you been there that night, you would have been all over that like white on rice.
Oh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
If you saw what I saw, you'd be on that in a New York minute.
I don't think so, man. I don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you something right now, Ms. Daly. You're not like the rest of us. You sound and you talk like you got a mouthful of, mush.
No, hold on, Debbie. That's very cruel. Debbie has come a long way.
No, she hasn't come long enough for me. You want to make fun of me? Let's talk about you, Daly. You know why you got your job on the radio? Because people feel sorry for you.
No, they don't. You think I'm a great journalist?
A great journalist? They don't think you're a great journalist. They feel bad for you, Daly. That's why they gave you the job, because they feel sorry for you. And public radio wanted to be the first to have a deaf woman. Let's call it what it is. Deaf. But I'm not going to say hearing impaired. You're deaf. And you know why you talk the way you do? Because you can't hear your own voice. You're going, grr, 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 grr. You sound like a baby. You probably... Yes, you're ugly. I hate myself now.
Well, now I've heard it all.
Boy, that was mean.
Mean? Get Debbie back on the line, okay?
No, she hung up too.
That was the worst. That was absolutely the worst. I've heard some cruel, cruel things before, but Larry Grover just stepped right over the line, calling Debbie Daly a freak. Where is she? There's Debbie. Debbie? Well, Debbie, I want you to know that you're just like the rest of us. You are. You're just like the rest of us. You look like the rest of us. You talk like the rest of us. Yeah. And,
Well, Phil, I wouldn't go that
far. Hold on for just a minute. What did you say, Marilyn?
I wouldn't go that far.
Nothing. Hold, just... You wouldn't go that far, what?
Put her on hold, please.
Put Debbie on hold for just a moment so I could talk to Marilyn. What do you mean you wouldn't go... Put her on hold, please. What do you mean that you wouldn't go that far?
Well, Phil, she doesn't sound like the rest of us. I don't think it's right for you to make her think that she sounds like a normal human being.
I'm just saying that because Larry hurt her feelings.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. It's not going to make it any easier.
Put Debbie back on. Debbie?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are just like us.
Except for a couple of areas, Debbie. Mm-hmm. Well, it's... When you talk, it is... We do hear you, and you sound just like we do, but it irritates us after a while to listen to you. And here's why. Don't get angry.
Why are you saying that?
Hold on. When you talk, Debbie, you sound just like us, and we understand you, but after a while, I get fatigued having to try to figure out what it is you're saying. That's all I'm talking about. Yes, I understand you. But after a while, I grit my teeth and I get angry and short of temper when I listen to your sputtering and your drooling.
All right, well, Marilyn, thank you very much.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, thanks for leaving me with the cat in the bag or whatever. So... That's great. She just said she's going to kill herself.
She said she was going to say that.
Yeah, she don't mean it.
She don't mean it. You better get her back on the phone. Thanks a lot, Marilyn. Thanks a lot, Larry. Thank you very much. Left me with a suicide case.
It is true, though.
It ain't true. What's true?
In fact, when that she comes on the radio, I can see you ready to just kill somebody.
I'm not ready to kill anybody. I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on, man. You know it just drives you ape.
It doesn't drive me ape. It's just that I do have to listen more carefully and...
Yeah, it drives everybody ape.
It don't drive me ape, man. I'm just, you know, it's very fatiguing. I think that's the word that Marilyn used. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with other news and views, including Mel Gibson's father, who apparently has ended his 10-year marriage to a younger wife because he's claiming elder abuse. I guess his wife beat him up. We'll have that and more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler joining us because we've had a little bit of a freak show here today, this evening, Dr. Sadler. I shouldn't say freak show because that's a terrible way to characterize it, but we've had so many psychological issues.
Oh, I've been listening with great interest, Phil. It's a fascinating program. I think what you do very well, Phil, and I think a lot of people are aware of it is you do bring out the conflicted individual. I think it's part of what makes you a rare talent. You bring out the conflicted individual.
Tonight Larry talking about how much he enjoys going to these drag queen reviews.
Right. Well, and I think it might have been a bit unfair to characterize Larry as deep in the closet. I think. for a man like Larry, who has had very rare contact with women and is sexually repressed because of his relationship with his mother, number one, as well as his religious upbringing, I don't think that necessarily makes a man gay. I think what happens to some men is because they are deprived of the company of women, or they deprive themselves of the company of women, that there is a de facto gay, gay lane.
What do you mean a gay lane?
It's a gay highway that psychologists speak of. I call it a gay lane. The reason why I call it a gay lane is because it doesn't have to be a massive boulevard or a freeway of sexual unhinging, you know, as it were. It can be simply, that's gay lane. It's a gay path that Larry may have found his way down by mistake. And you go, oh, I'm on the gay path, and you turn and you go back out onto the main boulevard of a heterosexual, of vaginal, you know, of enjoying a woman. So I think that
is that when you talk to your clients, when you talk to your patients, I should say. Do you say to them, you say to a man, "Oh, you just had a momentary walk down a gay lane"?
Well, I think that you know, it's a good question. But I say mostly, I have two or three different ways of going. Many times I'll just say it's what we call a shock corridor. Where I will take him wheeling down shock corridor. I'll say, "Buddy, you're queer." Sometimes I'll use the "Buddy, you're queer" phrase. And
"Buddy, you're queer."
Right. That is another way of shocking the individual into making a choice. Will I or won't she? Am I or isn't she? You know, is she or isn't he? Remember, it's Pat?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing with a lot of guys. Are you or aren't her? And I think that a lot of men, the way Johnny Depp plays guitar, which is not very well, but his rock star friends want him out on stage, and they make him feel like he's a good guitar player because they want him, they want to know him, and they want to hang out with him, okay? Well, the gay will oftentimes seduce the straight the same way. Well, I want to know this guy, so I'll pretend like he's gay. You see? So.
No, I don't see. So I want to know this guy, so I'll make him think he's gay. What do you mean Johnny Depp playing guitar?
Well, we've all seen Johnny Depp try to play guitar. He's terrible. He looks like a jackass. He can't play very well. But Eddie Vedder and the rest of those clowns will put up with him because they can say, "Oh, hey, you know, I know Johnny Depp, even though he stinks." I've got a personal problem with him. I'm sorry.
Why is that?
I don't think it's any of your business.
You were sitting here talking about gay lane.
No, I'm not gay. I'm not queer for Depp. Okay.
All right, I didn't say that, but as long as we were talking about psychologically complex and hidden aspects to people, I wondered what you were talking about.
My wife thinks he's hot. All right, Amber thinks he's hot. So when I see Johnny Depp, all I can think of is pulling his head apart using his ears. I know it sounds almost...
It sounds horrible.
It does, but I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to do it, but my fantasy is that I grab each ear and I just pull his head completely apart. That's my fantasy. I would never do it.
That is sick.
It's a fantasy, Phil. I would never do it.
It's a sick thought.
Oh, boy. I said it's a fantasy. I would never do it.
I know that, but it's a sick thought.
My wife wants to bed the guy. Okay.
All right. So you're. What do you mean? Your wife wants to bed the guy?
She thinks he's hot.
That doesn't mean she wants to take him to bed. She may be a fan. A lot of women think the guy's hot.
Are you trying to tell me, old son? She's my wife. I don't know what my wife wants to do.
Well, I just think it's a pretty weird and violent fantasy to have about pulling a guy's head apart by pulling each of his ears, because your wife thinks the guy's hot. And you're sitting here through this entire segment that we're doing talking about, you know, Phil, sometimes guys just spin off down gay lane. and all of a sudden you're thinking about pulling Johnny Depp's head apart?
I think there's a difference. I think it's normal for a lot of men to take that side trip, as I was trying to call it, down the gay passageway, or the back stairs at the gay house. Or if you want to call it a...
What do you mean the back stairs at gay house?
You remember back stairs at the White House?
Yeah.
That's what we call in psychology a man who takes that side trip into the world of men's underwear. If you're taking a trip right straight into a guy's underwear, that's what... It's silly, I know it.
Yeah, it sounds pretty silly.
Well, it is, but that's the verbiage that we use. And I can tell you something else, Phil, that when I think of my wife with Johnny Depp, wanting to pull his head apart using his ears is a normal thing for a man to think if he thinks that his wife, who's already 30 years younger than him, has got the hots for Johnny Depp. It's a normal fear.
But it's not normal to be so violent that you want to harm somebody like that, is it?
If he wants to take your 23-year-old wife to bed? Are you nuts?
But we're not talking about Johnny Depp.
Yes, we are talking. Boy, are you listening to yourself, Phil?
No, we're not talking about Johnny Depp wanting to take your wife to bed. We're talking about your wife wanting to go to bed with Johnny Depp.
Are you listening to yourself? Is it a he, she, or he, she, she, he? That's exactly what you were saying. You were going shim, him, her, she. What about a Hershey? Yeah, I got your Hershey. As in Hershey Highway. Phil?
No, you're being stupid now. I'm talking about you having a very, very violent fantasy about Johnny Depp because your wife happens to think he's hot, but then these cats are coming on my show like Larry Grover... And, oh, well, you're blowing the whole thing off like...
Are you trying to tell me that Larry Grover going down gay lane is the same as me wanting to pull Johnny Depp's head apart? Going down gay lane and pulling Johnny... Gay lane is an important revelation for men.
But pulling Johnny Depp's head apart ain't nothing.
Not for me, it isn't. It might be for Johnny Depp. So, again, Phil, I think you need to understand...
If I'm not understanding something, you can explain it, but I don't believe that your violent fantasy about Johnny Depp is any less significant than what's going on with Grover and these guys.
Grover? Who's he?
The guy you just talked to who had...
Oh, Larry Grover, yeah. Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Henry. Or should I say Sigmund Henry? Or do you want me to call you Phil Freud? Because that's who you think you are. You think you're Phil Freud. Good night, God bless, and have a very pleasant tomorrow.
Want to hang it up?
No, I don't want to hang it up. I'm going to leave the line open just to bother you. Make sure this is good, honey.
Phil Henry.
Line's still open, ha ha ha. The line's still open, ha ha.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we're very happy to say that we go places other talk shows wish they could. They just can't. And by the way, we're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, access thousands of hours of archived material, thousands. I mean, going back over a decade of the Phil Henry Show, as well as our video cast. We also have a year of video cast from our Saturday night show, which we did for a little over a year, like, 16 months. That's more than a little over a year. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. Check it out. And while you're there, make sure you listen to our new free Phil Henry podcast. We do two a week. And this week, rather than our usual Monday and Thursday release, we are having our Monday release, which was episode 5. And tomorrow, Friday, will be episode 6. Because we were on the road. This is a major story, and not exactly sure when it broke. We're going to read it to you right now, but there are a number of news agencies that are reporting it. And from the looks of how the story's moving, on Google at least, Huffington Post, Arizona Central, and NFL.com seem to be the primary places that people are looking for this story. In other words, I don't see any New York Times or ABC's or NBC News is here. although I'm sure that that will happen. The story is simply this, a, quote, mega lawsuit concerning concussions is being filed by literally hundreds of players, former players, in the National Football League. The mega lawsuit claims that the National Football League hid brain injury links from players. What was the serious downside to these injuries? What was the serious downside to concussions? These players are claiming it was hidden from players, the actual medical information hidden from players by the National Football League. Scores of lawsuits involving thousands of former players touched by concussions and brain injuries have been consolidated into one master complaint, setting up a massive and potentially costly case for the National Football League. Lawyers for the players filed the complaint Thursday in Philadelphia, accusing the NFL of hiding information that linked football-related head trauma to permanent brain injuries. Among the illnesses cited were dementia and Alzheimer's disease. And I think they're also citing amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, which is ALS, better known, I believe, as Lou Gehrig's disease. I don't know if that is, in point of fact, if there's a medical link there or if doctors seem to think that there's indications. But in any event, one of the players, Kevin Turner, who is quoted in this story, he was a former running back with the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles and has been diagnosed with ALS, said that the NFL, quote, must open its eyes to the consequences of its actions. The NFL has the power not only to give former players the care they deserve, but also to ensure that future generations of football players do not suffer the way that many in my generation have. Also named in the lawsuit, guess who? Helmet maker Riddell Incorporated. The suit accuses the NFL of mythologizing and glorifying violence through the media, including its NFL Films division. The NFL, like the sport of boxing, was aware of the health risks associated with repetitive blows producing subconcussive and concussive results, and the fact that some members of the NFL player population were at significant risk of developing long-term brain damage and cognitive decline as the result, the complaint charges. This is big, folks. This is big. Now, it's not going to shut the NFL down because the NFL has nothing but money. But if there's if there is one area, really, of player-management relations that can be exploited by the players graphically and without too much problem, because we see it every Sunday, it's actually so-called, you know, the workplace condition, the safety of the workplace. Nobody is doubting that the NFL, that football, American football, is a contact sport. Nobody's saying that it isn't. Nobody's saying that you don't make tackles. Nobody's saying that you don't make hard hits. Nobody's saying that guys don't get hit in the head a lot. What they're saying, though, is that once the medical authority in the National Football League is aware of a long-term health risk, long-term health risk that involves your ability to think, your ability to process information, your brain. And they don't make the players aware of this, now you got a problem. Now you got a problem. You say, well, the players, why don't they have that information? Well, they work for an employer that has that information. The employer is requiring a certain activity from its players. It's requiring a certain level of work performance from its employees. They want their players or their employees to do this, 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 and this. But it's dangerous. It's dangerous. That's why we have OSHA, you know, for you and me. I'm going to send that guy into that place there, and guess what? What? The fumes in there would kill a normal, healthy man within 20 years. He'll die of lung cancer. Are you still going to send him in there? Yeah, I am. Well, you got to tell him about that risk. Why? Because that workplace that you want that man to perform that function in isn't safe. They're going to send him in there without telling him first. There's a problem in there. If you breathe that garbage, and then the guy can say, well, then you better clean it up before you want me to go in there and work in there. Same thing with the NFL here. That's what the players are claiming. You're telling me to go out onto the field. You're asking me to perform in a certain manner that is going to cause this kind of, at least this sort of head, this contact between players and players' heads and skulls, and it causes this kind of damage that's going to give me Alzheimer's, that's going to make me senile, that's going to give me Lou Gehrig's disease, that basically will turn the rest of my life after football into, you know, I'll be a catatonic vegetable. Maybe you want to inform me of some of this stuff?
Yeah, but what they got to see that for? Dang it, Red, you can figure it out.
What do you mean figure it out, man? They know that you get a concussion, that's bad.
Yeah, they know getting a concussion is bad. But look, I played a little bit of football in high school. Dan, you did. And most any guy listening to me right now knows that when you got your when you got knocked down, when you got your bell rung, as they say, when you went headfirst into a goalpost or headfirst into something that was a hell of a lot harder than your head, and you got knocked on your ass, and you're looking at tweeting birds and stars, what did the coach say? Eh, he got his bell rung, man. Get up, walk it off, go over, sit down. We'll see how he is. That's about the end of that. Nobody ever said, let's get this kid. Nowadays, of course, they'll say, well, if it was bad enough, maybe we ought to do some kind of an MRI or CAT scan. Let's take a look and see, make sure his brains are still inside of his skull and they didn't pour out of his ears at halftime. Okay, he's fine. But the extent, the medical knowledge, medical information that they have in football goes far beyond that. They now know what the long-lasting effects of a concussion can be. They now know what the long-term damage is. And the players were not kept abreast of this.
Why don't the Player Association do it?
The Player Association do what?
Why didn't they have a study?
Why didn't the Players Association have a study? Because the Players Association is simply representing the workers of this industry called professional football to make sure that they are getting everything that they deserve and make sure that they're being protected and make sure that they are living up to their... So that's one thing unions also do, folks, that nobody ever tells you about. Unions will make sure that their workers live up to their obligation, live up to their contract, live up to their commitment to an employer. But one of their jobs is not doing the employer's work for him. So the helmet maker, Riddell, was named. The NFL, like the sport of boxing, was aware of the health risks associated with repetitive blows producing subconcussive and concussive results. Despite its knowledge and controlling role in governing player conduct on and off the field, the NFL turned a blind eye to the risk and failed to warn and or impose safety regulations governing the well-recognized health and safety problem. Now, here's the NFL. In response, the NFL cited the many health programs it runs for current and former players and a series of medical benefits to former NFL players to help them after football. Those include joint replacement, neurological evaluation, and spine treatment programs, assisting living partnerships, long-term care insurance, prescription benefits, life insurance programs, and a Medicare supplement program. The NFL has long made player safety a priority and continues to do so, the league said in a statement. Any allegation that the NFL sought to mislead players has no merit. It stands in contrast to the league's many actions to better protect players and advance the science and medical understanding of the management and treatment of concussions. That's not exactly saying that they're not exactly saying no to the accusation that we withheld information. Any accusation the NFL sought to mislead players has no merit. It stands in contrast to the league's many actions to better protect players and advance the science and medical understanding of the management and treatment of concussions. They may have advanced the science and the medical understanding and the treatment of concussions. They may have done all of that. What the players are saying is, you didn't tell us the results. You didn't make it evident to us. You didn't make it clear to us. What's the danger here?
Yeah, but they're saying that they didn't, when they got a result, then they treat the player.
Oh, when they got the results, then after the fact, they treat the player. So they let the guy go out there onto the field five, six, seven times. I know that sometimes they'll tell a guy, you know, how many concussions did Stan Humphries is a guy that comes to mind, but there's all kinds of players that have had concussions. They go out on the field, and then the team finally says, you know what, maybe enough is enough. Well, maybe enough is enough for the team, and maybe that was, about five, six, or seven too many. They may be advancing their understanding of concussions. What this lawsuit is saying is that the NFL did not share this information. All they did is after the fact say, oh, you have a concussion? Well, let's try this and try that. Let's do this and let's do that. But nobody said to them, if you keep playing and you keep taking hits like that, this is what's going to happen. Long before concussion number 8, in other words. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more. Mel Gibson's dad claiming elder abuse. That ought to be interesting.
My dad had Blade beat him up?
Yeah, he said that some chick kicked his ass.
Well, he was 93. Maybe he's right. 93-year-old dad. We'll be back with more world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We had up on our Phil TV and HD, that is Dave Durison of the Chicago Bears. He was a member of the 85 champion Bears, that 85 season, 86 Super Bowl. And then if I just do the old back button here, is Ray Easterling, who was 62 when he died. Here he is, good-looking guy. He was a safety with the Atlanta Falcons. And I guess that, you know, the defensive back, especially playing safety, where you're you know, if you're a strong safety, you're playing the run as well as the pass. If you're a free safety, you're the center field, you're the last line of defense. It's either you or there's a touchdown, and so there's going to be some smacking going on. And both of those gentlemen suffered so severely that they wound up taking their own lives. I think in the case of Dave Durison, he shot himself, and the same thing with Ray Easterling. Good Lord. My father my dad played football in the 30s, and he was an offensive lineman, and he also those days they played both ways. So he was a defensive and they called it in Canadian ball they called it you were the offensive center, and then you played some kind of a nose tackle, not nose tackle, but you played some kind of a middle linebacker, nose tackle kind of hybrid position. In any event, my old man wound up with a severe case of dementia for about 8 months. Now, I ain't saying that it was football that did it. I can tell you, though, that if you took my dad, Herbert Hendry, and you compared his symptoms to these guys, there's not a whole lot of difference. He had volatility the older he got. He had terrible mood swings, a lot of anger, a lot of uncontrollable anger. He had dementia, and he was, you know, his mind was gone, man. Now, I don't know, like I say, whether that was football related, because it didn't happen to him until his 70s, and he was done with football in his 20s. You know, he went into the Army, then he became a dad, and then he, you know, became a businessman, and he was, you know, not that my old man was all, you know, on the straight and narrow all the time.
Yeah, didn't you say he was kind of nuts anyway?
He wasn't. I wouldn't call my father nuts. He was, you know, he was a guy that was, he had mood swings, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, what about that, man? Probably that ran his head in a goalpost, something like that.
What do you mean? What are you talking about, my dad getting his head run into a goalpost?
Well, if you're talking about bipolar, yeah, it could have been from a goal, getting his head rammed in.
You don't get bipolar for getting your head rammed into a goalpost, okay? Well, maybe you do. I don't know. My old man was up and down, as my mother used to say, up and down like a toilet seat. But I wouldn't say that he got that way from getting his head rammed into goalposts. He just didn't play that much football. He played for, I don't know, 4 years, something like that. And then he was off into the world, and he never really exhibited any kind of symptom. But now it's got me thinking, you know. I mean, is this stuff so insidious that it just lies dormant? The damage that it does lies dormant until your later years, you know? And then all of a sudden it just starts, as the body begins to break down and all the systems start to break down as you get older, it's just natural, and maybe your brain just can't handle it anymore.
What about that one guy that shot himself?
The two guys I was just talking about, are you paying attention?
Oh. What about Ernest Hemingway?
Yeah, what about him?
What about him?
He shot himself, too.
We're not saying that every guy that shoots himself has got a football-related injury.
Yeah, but Ernest Hemingway ran his head into things.
Like the other day.
Will you shut up? Ernest Hemingway ran his head into things. All right, Mel Gibson's father
ran his head into something.
Do you mind? Yeah, he ran his head into something, all right. He ran his head into his wife. Anyway, Mel Gibson's father files to end 10-year marriage to wife Teddy Joy amid claims of elder abuse. Who the hell is Teddy Joy?
That's his wife.
Okay. This is a very flattering photo, by the way, of Mel Gibson. Why would they have that picture of Mel Gibson on a story about Mel Gibson's 93-year-old Jew-hating father being beat up by his wife? And don't you think some elder abuse is justified? We'll be right back after these messages.
Oh, you'll probably get... Oh, man.
Oh, big deal. Anyway, Mel Gibson's elderly father has become famous for questioning the size of the Holocaust, if you'll pardon the expression.
Maybe that's his nickname for Mel's penis.
Oh, will you shut up?
That's the funniest thing I ever heard.
Nickname for Mel's penis, the Holocaust. Anyway, Mel Gibson's elderly father has become famous for questioning the size of the Holocaust. Mel Gibson's elderly father, famous for questioning the Holocaust, is reportedly claiming elder abuse at the hands of his younger wife. Hoot Gibson, good Lord, that's the same guy that ate those, like he used to eat tree bark.
No, that's a different one.
Actually, his name is Hutton Gibson, age 93, although that's pretty close to Hoot, filed divorce papers last week to end his 10-year marriage to Teddy Joy. Who the hell is she, man? It's the second time they've used her name, like she's some kind of a movie star or something.
Why don't they call her Teddy Gibson?
I don't know. She's Teddy Joy. She must be the famous Teddy Joy, whoever she is. He claims his wife has been abusing him while he's seriously ill and taking a slew of medications, according to TMZ. Joy, she's the young, fresh, tight, sweet, young 78-year-old, allegedly believes her husband's family is prolonging his life unnecessarily and wants to simply beat the crap out of him and kill him so he can I'm kidding. It doesn't say that, bud. Although that's what it sounds like. Joy, 78, allegedly believes her husband's family is prolonging his life unnecessarily, so why wouldn't she beat him up?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Anyway, she believes that her husband's family is prolonging his life unnecessarily, wants to discontinue the meds to accelerate his death. She has clashed with her famous son-in-law over the position, TMZ said, and the Braveheart star has reportedly rushed to his dad's aid, ensuring he's getting all the prescribed drugs. So they think that she's withholding his drugs or something?
Now, it's telling me like they got him talked into believing she withholding the drugs so that he'll croak off, and then she come, yes, you get all that good cheese.
Get all that good cheese. I wonder how much the old man's worth. Well, anyway...
Probably worth a lot, man. I think he sold all them Nazi books.
Isn't he a writer or something like that?
Yeah, he doesn't believe that any Jews were killed and everything. I think he wrote a book about it.
Wrote a book? Well, you know what? There are enough idiots that would read that stuff. He's probably a multimillionaire. Given the sheer magnitude of how stupid the human race is, he's probably a multimillionaire writing all that anti-Semitic crap that he writes. All right, we'll be back. We'll get further into this story. We're not done with that yet. We're not done with making fun of a 93-year-old man yet. Not just yet. No, 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 no. Don't die on me yet. Not yet. Not yet, you oinker. All right, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Dirty Harry.
Right. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You have a short week, you know. I'm sorry, but that's the last time I ever go on vacation.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. No, it's the last time we do kind of a half-week thing. That sucks. That sucks. But anyway, it's nice to be back tomorrow night. And tomorrow, of course, we will have episode 6 of the free Phil Henry podcast. If you don't download the free Phil Henry podcast, you're out of your mind. You are half out of your wits. The free Phil Henry podcast is a speedball of hillbilly humor, some real crazy, crazy, weird. It's a speedball of radio greatness is what it is. Twice a week, the Phil Hendry podcast, the free Phil Hendry podcast, you can download, you can subscribe to it, and it's automatically delivered to your thang, your device, your, if you'll pardon the expression, your little friend. That's the free Phil Hendry podcast. You can subscribe to it there. Go to our website, look for the link to the free Phil Hendry podcast, and take her away, baby. Download the hell out of that thing, man.
Yeah, and also make sure you
well, they'll know. They'll know. Don't worry. All right, we don't want to mix and mingle here, man. We don't want to get to our we don't want to dot our I's before we cross our T's. If you'll pardon me for saying so. All right, getting back to Hoot Gibson, otherwise known as Hutton Gibson, otherwise known as Mel Gibson's dad. The guy that claims his young, sweet, fresh, innocent 78-year-old girlfriend is trying to kill him. Hutton Gibson is 93, the girlfriend, 78, and apparently she, quote, allegedly believes her husband's family is prolonging his life unnecessarily and wants to discontinue the meds to accelerate his death. This is what he claims she believes, or this is what she believes?
I think that's what she believes.
Well, now, what the hell? That's a hell of a thing for her to admit, and then she is abusing the guy.
What? Doc, you say that. Sounds like she got the old man's best interests at heart.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I bet you it sounds real good. I got the old man's best interests. Why is that? Well, he's 93. Ought to be dead. Why? Why should the guy be dead when he's 93? If he's smart enough to know that somebody's messing with his medication, sounds pretty healthy to me. Is she admitting that? She couldn't possibly be admitting that, because if she was, that's murder.
Why is that murder, man? You know,
it's murder, Robert, because if she's withholding the old guy's meds, she says she wants to discontinue the meds. I don't know, man. You know, I mean, that still would be against the law. She's clashed with her famous son-in-law, who came to his father's aid. Hutton Gibson cited irreconcilable differences in his divorce filing, which he signed with a shaky signature. The disillusioned World War II vet and arch-conservative Catholic had 10 children with his first wife in New York before moving the family to Australia with winnings from the TV game show Jeopardy. Are you kidding me?
No, man, that's Mel Gibson's life, man.
Well, now it all adds up, you know. Now all of it makes sense. All of those weird things that Mel Gibson did, the Passions of the Christ, the drinking tequila, the 100 miles an hour down PCH, it all stems from Art Fleming.
That's the original host.
Yeah, that's the original host of Jeopardy. Don Pardo and Art Fleming, man. All right, anyway, the couple adopted another child in Australia, and Gibson married Joy in 2002 after his first wife's death. Mel came along somewhere between... No. Anyway, when Hutton Gibson spoke to the New York Times Magazine in 2003 and questioned historical accounts that 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust, Joy cheerfully piped in with support. Yeah, I'll bet she did. Listen to this. She tells the magazine from the couple's Texas home, there weren't even that many Jews in all of Europe, says this hanky bitch, Terry Joy. Dig it? Teddy Joy.
Man, that's some kind of a family.
So the old man won a bunch of dough on the TV show Jeopardy, moves the whole family down to Australia. So far, so good. Sounds like a really good plan, especially if you're one of those very paranoid Americans that you just ain't digging all the minorities. And, you know, America ain't as cool as it used to be when it was mostly white. And now they even got color film, so the skin tone really comes out. So forget it. So he moves everybody down to Australia with the winnings from the Jeopardy show, probably buys a huge sheep ranch or a yak ranch or something, who knows, raises his 10 kids, raises up Mel, who's a borderline genius and psychopath and maniac, and there he is right there. And, you know, few people remember this now because Mel has turned into such a whack job, but Mel Gibson was at one time the hunk, you know.
Yeah, and all the chicks wanted him and everything.
Yeah, he was like the hunky guy. He was like a lot of, you know, he was the man of the hour. The Mad Max flick and a lot of stuff. And the older he got, the uglier he got. I'm just kidding. The older he got, the older he got, the uglier he got. Just like the rest of us. Until now, he makes movies and then throws his house guests out into the pavement or onto the pavement, I should say.
Yeah, what, down and down people?
I don't know, but he got so angry, it sounded to me like he was just going to grab everybody and go, anyone's dinner? Well, here you can go eat. Throw it out in the street. You can go out there and get it. God.
You ever heard anybody get that mad?
Yes, I've heard someone get that mad.
Who?
Me. I've gotten that mad.
Yeah, but I mean, you get that mad at people.
Yeah, who the hell do you think I'm talking to? Yes, I've gotten that mad. Strangers? No. I mean, I don't think I've ever gotten that irate in front of total strangers. I don't think they were total strangers. Weren't they friends of his?
Yeah, one of the guys a writer and another guy, I forget.
Oh, well, that's thank you, bud, for that very, very, very descriptive there, man. One guy's a writer and the other guy, I forget. In any event, yeah, I've gotten that mad. If you take repeated you take repeated shots to the head, you'll get that mad.
Well, there you go. Mel Gibson probably got a head concussion on account he got head-butted. Yeah, maybe he got butted by a sheep or, well, I was going to say kangaroo, but they don't do that.
No, they don't do that. Never mind. All right, so that's a really silly story. The best of luck to you, Mr. Gibson, in getting rid of her, but you know what? Birds of a feather flock to, you know how it goes. Sounds to me like Teddy Joy is the girl of your dreams, man, if you'll pardon the name Teddy. 78 years old, and there just ain't that many Jews down there in Texas. There ain't that many Jews in Europe, excuse me. We know there aren't that many Jews in Texas. What is the hang-up with people on that? I have no idea. Just, it's like dumb. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, we have a interesting story here that has to do with Amanda Bynes. She's been busted for a DUI. She denies a hit-and-run story, says she doesn't drink and drive, but the L.A. City Attorney's Office begs to differ. The What I Like About You star has been charged with driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs stemming from her April 6th arrest after dinging a police cruiser with her BMW. And that's not all she's accused of. In the formal complaint against her, it is noted that Bynes also allegedly refused a peace officer's request to submit to and or complete a chemical test to see how much, if any, substance was in her system. Arraignment has been scheduled for tomorrow at 8:30, but because the charge is a misdemeanor, Bynes only has to send a lawyer in her place. Since her April bust, the actress has perhaps coincidentally embarked on a series of driving snafus, including a painfully slow three-point turn witnessed by droves of West Hollywood revelers. Have you ever sat and watched someone try to parallel park and they can't do it?
Yeah, it's just pretty sad, man.
I sat one day, and the poor person, if it was me, I would have given up and just driven away because gradually you're attracting attention. But nope, they wouldn't give up, and they never were able to do it, but they were trying to parallel park. Now, there's an art to parallel parking, you know.
Yeah, you're pretty good at it, seeing you do it. I got to admit, I hate to admit it.
Well, thank you, bud. Well, I know how to parallel park. The way to parallel park, it's very simply this. You start out with the ass end of your car, even to the ass end of the car next to you, right? And then you back up a little bit, and then you immediately turn, you move the ass end of that car into that space. Now, you want the ass of your car to hit the pavement, not hit the pavement, but be close to hitting the pavement about three-quarters of the way down, so that when you swing the wheel, let's say you're parallel parking on the right, when you swing the wheel to the left, then the front of your car moves in beautifully parallel parking in that nice tight slot. Understand?
No.
Neither do I. Neither do I. I don't know how I do it, but in any event, if you sit and you watch some people try to parallel park, you feel bad because they can't do it, and they'll start all over again. They back up, can't do it, start all over again, back up, can't do it. And after a while, you want to laugh, and some people will finish it. They'll say, aha, I finally done it, and they're like a mile from the curb. They're sticking out in the middle of traffic. It's wild, baby. It's really wild. Since the April bust, the actress has perhaps coincidentally embarked on a series of driving snafus. So there was the painfully slow three-point turn witnessed by droves of West Hollywood revelers and the unwitting fender bender of an SUV, which she says she never knew about until the other driver filed a report. Then TMZ reported that police were informed of but never pursued the allegation that she rear-ended another car on the freeway and drove off. How do you do that, man? Somebody got popped for that. They banged into a car, and I think it was like Paula Abdul at one point, driving along, banged another car, and just kept right on going. You will get arrested.
What about that old lady, man?
I had an old lady run into my car. I didn't have the old lady run into my car. It just so happened that the old lady ran into my car and then took off.
She did?
Yeah.
How'd you know it was an old lady?
Well, I'm going to tell the story. My car, which was a rental, so it was no sweat off of me. I didn't give a damn, man. I had it parked out in front of a house that I was renting. It was right when I got to L.A. back in 96. And I come out the back end, it's just destroyed. And somebody actually knocked on my door and said, sir, your car got hit. If this is, and I said, yeah, it is. All right, so now I find out the South Pasadena police come around to my place. And the guy says, yes, sir, you're the owner of the car. I go, yeah. Well, let me tell you what happened here. Okay. It was an old lady who hit your car and she took off. She was so scared. But she drove to her niece's house and told her niece what she did, and her niece contacted us. I said, oh, okay, so she was a little scared. He says, yes, sir, she was frightened, and the niece contacted us. And he said, sir, just between you and me, this is the police officer telling me this, I mean, we can just, you know, I mean, she was an elderly woman, she was scared. And I said, I don't care, I want her in a jail cell, do you understand? I want her rotting.
You did?
No, I didn't.
That would have been so cool if you would have done that.
No, I'm not going to do anything like that, I'm sure. And, sir, she's an elderly. I don't give a damn. I want her to rot. No. I said to the cop, yeah, I can dig it. Because the cop said, she's an old lady and, you know, sir, I mean, you understand. She just got scared. No, I said, yeah, you know, whatever. I said, it's a rental car.
Do you let the old lady get off? What a jerk.
What do you want me to do, bud?
Yeah, at least make her sweat.
Yeah, that's right. You're sick. I'm going to make an old lady sweat it out, give her a cardiac arrest. No way, man. So I took the cops. The cop was really, you know, you can do whatever you want, sir, but, you know, I mean, this is kind of the situation, and you could take care of it. I said, no, I understand. So we took care of it as if she had stopped and given me the information on her car and all that stuff.
Oh, so what would the cop, like, get insurance?
Yeah, he gave me her name and all this good crap. And so I had her insurance information. I went and I filed in the state of California. There's a certain form you're supposed to file when your car gets into an accident. And I did all of that. And I, you know, then proceeded to, you know, I didn't care. It was the rental agency's car. So they're the ones that chased after her. But I had to get this form done. Anyway.
You let an old lady go, man. You could have watched that old lady sweat.
Yeah. How do you know it could have been Teddy Joy? Think about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right, bud.
What if it was?
How old's Teddy Joy?
78.
All right, so this lady would have been then, well, she said, so 68 minus 6 is 62. Well,
that'd be an old lady.
Well, I mean, considering the fact that I'm pushing that right now. But, yeah, maybe it was Teddy Joy. Maybe I let her go, and maybe I shouldn't have. And maybe, you know, if, as the man said, you know, rain was beer, we'd all be happy. In any event...
Not me.
In any event, we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our news and information hour will continue
right after this.
Truth
Thank you.
Is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll tell you, you know, that there's a lot of low things in this world, though. I mean, there are a lot of things that people do. But to hit some guy's car and to take off and not say a word about it, you got to be a real piece of crap, you know?
Well, yeah, but I mean, what if you hit that guy's car and you might get arrested?
I don't give a damn if you hit the guy. You're talking about what?
Yeah, if you hit his car and they find out you got warrants.
Well, you know something, man? Maybe you ought to just clean your life up a little bit, okay? Before you start wrecking people's cars and then just riding off into the sunset thinking that you're clean as a baby's rear end. I'll tell you something. The long arm of the law, man.
Yeah, they're not going to do that if you hit a guy's car.
No, they won't do it if you hit a guy's car. If they don't have time. But, you know, the funny thing about cops is if they ever find an extra minute here or there, they look into this stuff. Now, maybe not hit cars. But, you know, they find guys that kill people.
Yeah, they're going to do that, man. They got, like, a cold case file.
Yeah, that's what that show Cold Case is about.
Whatever, man, okay? I'm just saying, you got to be some kind of a piece of crap to run into somebody's car and then take off. I think if you run into someone's car and then take off trying to get away scot-free and they catch you, I think you deserve to have your ass beat. I really do.
That's against the law.
Is that against the law? Oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, you're talking about how you shouldn't break the law.
It's against the law. No, you shouldn't break the law. But the fact of the matter goes, as far as I'm concerned, oh, you're the guy that ran into my car. Well, I mean, I didn't mean to, yeah. I had my freaking car one day at, we've all got these stories. We've all got stories. I got the story of my Blazer. I had a Chevy Blazer that just got the crap beat out of it, man. It must have been the way I was parking it. I don't know what it was. I had the back end of it smashed in by some dumbass at the Cask and Cleaver in Arcadia backing his damn car out. Boom! Just smashed in the back gate. Thank you very much. Somebody actually, this is the weirdest thing in the world, someone wrote down the guy's license number who hit me. And yes, my friend remembered it. My friend is blind. And I repeated the number to my friend, and my friend remembered it. And, okay, that's, wow. It's
what?
Yeah, the lady that gave me the note said that she saw the license number, and she repeated the license number to her blind friend, because her blind friend would remember it. And then she remembered it, and they wrote it down and gave me the thing.
What happened?
Well, I mean, let me say this. License plates that you give to cops, here's the guy that wrecked my car, you might as well just throw it into a garbage can.
Why?
That's, if they've got time, they'll look into it, man. That's one of those way down the list things. You just take it to the insurance, get the insurance to cover it. Sorry, pal, you lose.
Yeah, but you kind of making cops out to be lazy.
I'm not saying cops are lazy. I'm not saying cops are lazy at all. I'm just saying they got so much work to do. I'll never forget the day that I walked into the Northeast Division of the Los Angeles Police Department after I had the side of my car wrecked at Dodger Stadium one night. Now, I'd come out of the Dodger-Mets playoff game, and there's the side of my car turned to garbage. That was my Blazer. And I say turned to garbage. It went caved in my freaking driver's side door, all kinds of stuff. It was just, it was a mess. Some stupid ass that had gotten his car wedged in too tight decided that he'd just take out the side of my car as he was pulling his silly little jive-ass four-speed truck out of there. So anyway.
You had a five-speed truck.
Yeah, mine was better. So anyway. I went to the L.A. Northeast Division, and I showed the cop, here's the license plate. And the cop pulled it up. He said, it's a truck. He described the truck. He described what the car was. I said, well, here it is. He said, we'll give it to the detectives. And the same cop says to me, sir, it's hard being, a cop, all this stuff. He says to me, you know what I think being a cop is, sir? I said, no, what's that? It's like we've got the job of grabbing flies from over a garbage can, and we take those flies to a field full of manure surrounded by a chain link fence, and we release the flies into that field covered with manure surrounded by a chain link fence, and the flies get away.
Who's saying this?
This cop. And I'm thinking, there's a guy that's happy in his work. Although I can't blame him,
Yeah, but I mean, nobody forced him to be a cop.
No, you're right. No one forced him to be a cop. But here's a guy with this kind of very cynical view, obviously, and I don't blame him. I mean, I'm sure it's that and more. But here's an opportunity. Okay, I realize that it's the garbage can with the flies and the manure and the this and the that. Here's a chance for you to go and do something. We just caught the guy that ran into my car.
But they can't do it on account of the detective.
The detective. Yeah, they had to give it to the Detective Bureau. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. Join us online at philhendryshow.com for live streaming video of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show each and every bloody night, man, right here on philhendryshow.com and Phil TV. Until tonight. That's right, tonight, at least tonight here on the West Coast. Have yourselves a very good day. Don't forget to download the podcast tomorrow. It'll be available via the link on philhendryshow.com. tomorrow. That is episode numero 6. Later, baby.
Phil Hendry.
Let that be a lesson to you.